Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy.
Don't Worry, Be Happy, the song that made Bobby McFerrin famous, is also the song that caused him to retreat from the public eye for 18 months. He's back, performing with an ensemble of 10 singers called Voicestra. I asked McFerrin to tell me what kind of writing he's been doing for his new group.
In the year and a half that I've had off, I've been exploring world music, African music in particular. And so a lot of the music has a chant-like quality to it, you know, very repetitive, but earthy. So most of the music pretty much stems from that, kind of like the old black conscious spiritualness of music, you know.
Since we don't have a record of any of the music, can I get you to hum a few bars?
Let me see. I can't sing all the parts, though. Et cetera, you know. And then there's another part that goes with it, but it's hard to do just by myself.
What are the pleasures for you of a cappella music?
Well, I'm committed to it. I like the sound of just the voice. You know, there's just something about the range, the possibilities, the color palette of the voice, the dynamics, the different timbres. It's the supreme instrument, and I'm just in love with the sound of the voice by itself, you know.
After Don't Worry, Be Happy became a big number one hit, did you take a period off from the public?
I sure did. Oh, yes, indeed. I took about 18 months altogether. Pretty much just kept to myself. Did a lot of reading, taking a lot of time just to get quiet, and seeking solitude and a retreat from the eyes of the public. I think it's very important to do that every once in a while. And I was very happy that I was able to take the opportunity and the time to do that.
Why did you need to do that? Were there directions that you were getting pushed in? Did you feel you were losing your balance at all?
Well, there are a couple of reasons. One, that solo concerts and solo performance was not as challenging as it used to be. You know, in the beginning, I felt that I had pretty much run dry and was stuck creatively and had taken solo voice as far as I could. Another reason is that I wasn't scared anymore. Solo performance wasn't frightening. I wasn't nervous when I walked out on stage, and I was sort of on automatic pilot, and I thought that was a bit unfair to the audience to not give them my best. And I was just physically tired. I was just tired of traveling, tired of hotels, tired of missing my family and not being with them, you know. So there were spiritual and physical reasons for the break.
I lost my train of thought. Choo-choo, yeah. I've been listening to your records for several years, and I remember when I first heard that Don't Worry, Be Happy had reached number one, a friend told me that. I didn't believe it. Like, I thought, oh, come on, Bobby McFerrin's like number one on the pop charts?
I mean, right,
it just seemed so uncommon to me. How did that happen?
It happened by itself. I think that the song itself just met, I guess that's a new word, I guess you could use it, met a need somehow, and people latched onto that piece. I was surprised on one hand, because, you know, my intention never is to write a piece that I think is going to be a hit or anything like that. I think it happened accidentally that Don't Worry, Be Happened happened. Don't Worry, Be Happened happy. Don't Worry, Be Happy happened. Anyway.
I know a lot of your songs are improvised, either on stage or in the recording studio. When you like them, you'll do them over again. How did you write Don't Worry, Be Happy?
Well, that was also an improvisation, I think, that happened about 5 years ago. When I was, I had come up with this rhythmic lick. I simply found that melodic line. And then the space, don't worry, I just started singing Don't Worry and Be Happy. And then would make up the lyrics on the gig, you know.
Why did you use the Jamaican accent?
You know what happened is just before I recorded that piece, I had just come from a. I just had lunch at a Mexican restaurant that was across the street from the studio that I was working at, and we just got into this sort of Mexican accent. It's not really Jamaican. It's sort of a cross between Jamaican and Juan, you know, from Mexico. And so when I was recording, and also in this Mexican restaurant was a poster with Mayor Bava's picture on it. It said, "Don't worry, be happy," which I thought was kind of cosmic. So when I went back into the studio and I started singing, I just was in that mode. I'd been joking around, you know, and speaking that way. So when I started singing the song, here's a song, let's see, da-da-da-da, when I forgot the lyrics of the song. Don't worry, be da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, don't worry. Anyway, here's a song, da-da-da-da. Gosh, do you remember the lyrics?
Here's a song I wrote. I'll help you sing it note for note.
I hope you learned it note for note. So it's not really Jamaican. It was sort of the attitude that I had carried over with me from this Mexican restaurant that I had lunch.
Now, George Bush appropriated Don't Worry, Be Happy as a campaign theme. I know you didn't support George Bush. In fact, you had supported Dukakis. What did you try to do anything to get the song out of his hands?
Well, what could I have done? I mean, it's public domain, it's out there, and he just simply liked the song, you know? Some people said, well, he shouldn't be using the song as a part of his political forum, and perhaps he's right. You know, it's not a political song anyway. It's a song for everyone. He just simply liked the song and played it in some of his campaigns, and some people were afraid that if he was playing my song, then that means that I was associated with him in some way. I mean, I'm not so attached to my material that I don't know how to answer that question. I've answered it so many times, and I still don't have an answer for it, so let's go on to something else.
During that period when you kind of took a leave of absence from Public View, mm-hmm. you were still in Public View in the Ocean Spray commercials.
Right.
And I guess I'm wondering why you've chosen to do those commercials for so long.
Well, I just finished another one.
I think I saw it.
Is it? Yeah, about 2-3 months ago. I've done two commercials. I did one for Levi's 501 and now for the Ocean Spray. First off, I wanted to just do them. At the time when I accepted this offer to do these commercials, it was at a period of time in my life when I wanted to do some, you know. That's changed since. I mean, I don't plan on doing any more. I was just interested, basically. I mean, we use Ocean Spray in the house. We drink it a lot. And so I felt it was a product that I, you know, since I used it, that it would be okay to do that.
Do you worry at all about how performing in the context of commercials would affect the way people perceive your music?
No, No, I don't worry about that.
I think a lot of people used the phrase "don't worry, be happy" to kind of sum up a certain attitude of the 80s, which was let it go, don't worry about social change. Do you know what I mean? Just think about yourself, don't worry, be happy. How did you feel when people were interpreting it as that kind of message?
To not, you're talking about complacency.
Exactly, that's the word, complacency.
Yeah. Well, that's certainly not what the song was about. You know, I was kind of unhappy that some people thought that that's what I was talking about. But I am convinced that there were, first off, there's always going to be some social issue to grapple with. And, you know, for example, the homeless and all. And I think those things are very, very important. And we need to be very vocal about things that are getting done or aren't getting done. We need to make some changes. So in a political sense, I think it's important that we really stand up for what we believe in and, you know, simply take a stand and stand firm. So the song was certainly not about that. It was not about just sort of sitting back and letting things take their course, you know, cool out. But the song is also saying to me is that we also need to dedicate ourselves personally to our own spiritual growth. I think that we don't pay too much attention to that. I mean, we spend a lot of time on things that happen outside us without paying a lot of attention or enough attention to the things that go on inside us. I think that we need to focus some attention, not in a selfish way, because we need to learn how to love again. And to love means, you know, to be able to love the most unlovable person on the face of the earth. And when you can do that, then you can really make some real changes as a society. That's, you know, that's, I think, what I was trying to say. I hope I was successful with some people, but I think a lot of people missed the mark.
Well, Bobby McFerrin, thank you very much for talking with us.
You're welcome.
Bobby McFerrin and his new ensemble, Voicestra, will perform in Los Angeles from April 10th to 15th. She said, listen, babe, I got something to say. I got no car and it's breaking my heart. I got a driver and that's a start. Maybe you can drive my car. Yes, I'm gonna be a star. This is Fresh Air.